John chapter 10 is one of those great favorite chapters of the Bible where Jesus speaks of himself as the Good Shepherd. The image of the shepherd and his sheep is used throughout the Bible. We sing in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." In Psalm 100, "We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." Jesus referred to his disciples as his little flock. Jesus had compassion upon the crowds. He said they are like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus spoke of seeking to save the lost as a shepherd goes to seek and to save the lost sheep. It's a beautiful image, isn't it? But we mustn't forget these words of Ezekiel in chapter 34, the first two verses. "The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock?" The shepherd was a symbol of a leader, and the supreme leader is God. But God has delegated some of his authority to leaders of nations, to kings, to presidents, to prime ministers, to governments, to leaders of churches, bishops and moderators and ministers and priests. God has delegated his authority, so they are called shepherds. And their duty to God is to be good shepherds, good leaders of nations and churches. But many of the kings and leaders and priests of Israel in the Old Testament had become corrupt and cruel leaders, just as in much of the world today. We know that many nations, members of the United Nations, use torture, the secret police, unjust imprisonment that's how they govern their nations. Many leaders of the world, we know, are making themselves rich and holding on to power at the expense of the poor and the needy. So we read in Ezekiel here in 34 verse 3 and 4 and 10, "You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You've not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You've not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. This is what the sovereign Lord says, I am against the shepherds, and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock, so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and it will no longer be food for them." But not only will God remove these wicked, selfish, corrupt, and cruel shepherds, meaning the political leaders of the nations, he himself will come in person. God will come among his people, and he himself will be the shepherd. So we read also in Ezekiel 34:11 and 12, "For this is what the Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue my sheep." In the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, the Lord says that at the end of the age, he's going to come in power and judgment, and he will tend the flock. like a shepherd gathering the lambs in his arms. And when we pray that prayer, Thy kingdom come, we're praying for that day when that will be true, when those who have squandered the earth's resources, made themselves rich at the expense of the poor in so many nations, they will be removed and judged, and the Lord will come to redeem those who look to him. The Lord will come at the end of the age in terrible judgment and wonderful salvation. Now that same Lord came once before to Israel, 580 years after Ezekiel spoke these words of prophecy. Jesus walked this earth, and he said in John 10, I am the good shepherd. That good shepherd of whom Ezekiel spoke, I am the good shepherd. And Jesus too, in these verses in John 10, speaks of the bad shepherds. In verse 8 and 10, he describes them as thieves and robbers who've come to destroy. In verse 12 and 15, he says that the bad shepherds are just like hired hands who care nothing for the sheep. They're only in it for the money. He means the leaders of Israel and the leaders of the world who are in it for themselves, not for the care of the people. And in contrast, Jesus says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The good shepherd gives abundant life to the sheep. Let's look at some of the details in this chapter, John 10. We must picture in our mind a big sheep pen. A big sheep pen with a gate. And in this large sheep pen are a number of flocks. And what happened was that when the shepherd came for his sheep, he had a particular voice which his own sheep recognized, not the others. And he would lead them out, and then he would lead them back in. And so in verse 4 here and in verse 9, Jesus says, the shepherd calls his sheep and he leads them out and he leads them in. He leads them out to find pasture and he leads them in at night to find security. In the book of Numbers, chapter 27, Moses is praying for a future leader of Israel. And this is what he says in verse 16 and 17. The Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Verse 16, may the Lord, the God of the spirits of all mankind, appoint a man, that is Joshua, over this community, to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in, so the Lord's people will not be like a sheep without a shepherd. The shepherd leads the sheep in to the sheepfold. In the sheepfold there is security from danger at night. He leads them out of the sheepfold in the daytime so that they can have freedom to find pasture. Both inside and outside, the shepherd is with them. In other words, Jesus is saying the good shepherd gives his sheep security and freedom. And that's what the people of the world need. In some countries today, the people have lots of freedom to do their own thing, to say what they want. But there's not much security because there's danger from crime everywhere. That's this country and America. Freedom but no security. or not enough. In other countries, there's not much crime because they have a police state. There's no freedom either in those countries. And everyone's afraid to say, to speak what they feel. But the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, provides both security and freedom. That's what it means. Jesus means when he says the shepherd leads them out and in. Out and in. Secondly, we read in these verses, the shepherd knows his sheep and they know him. As I said, it was the custom for the shepherd to call in his special voice, and the sheep that belonged to him recognized that voice and went out of the sheepfold following him. The other sheep wouldn't follow him, but only the sheep who knew him, and he knew his sheep. We read in verse 3 and verse 4 here, the shepherd calls his sheep by name. Verse 14 and 15, it says, the shepherd knows the sheep know him, just as the Father, God the Father, knows the Son, and God the Son knows the Father. Just as God knows his Son Jesus, so his Son Jesus knows us. Each one of us. He knows our personalities, our strengths, our weaknesses, our hopes, our fears, and he calls us by name. That means he calls us as we are. The Lord calls you and me just as we are. He doesn't demand that first we make ourselves perfect and then he will call us. He calls you and me as we are. That's what it means by name. As you are, with all your troubles, all your faults, all your weaknesses, as well as your strengths and all the things in your personality which make you attractive or unattractive to others. As you are, the Lord calls you by name. Yes, the Lord, as I've been saying, is interested in the nations of the world. And he will call to account the political leaders of the world. But also, he is interested in just ordinary folks like you and me, by name. And when he speaks to you, perhaps in a church service, calling you to follow him, you will recognize that is the voice of the Lord that came to me through that hymn, through the prayer, through the sermon. You will know that was the Lord calling me at that point. That was the voice of my Lord. The sheep know the voice of the shepherd. But will the way be hard when we follow the Lord? Well, in verse 4 we read that the shepherd goes ahead of the sheep. He leads them. Jesus has gone ahead of us through life's way. He knows all about our problems, not from a distance, but because he himself has experienced them. He has entered into our agonies, our hopes, our fears, and our joys. There's nothing in our life that we need to be afraid of that he hasn't gone through. What is the very worst thing that can happen to you and me? The very, very worst thing that we can fear? Well, it's not anything worse than death, or even a painful death. That is the worst thing that any of us can go through. There's nothing worse than that, to die and for it to hurt. But the Lord has been that way too. Beyond the grave, on the cross, and then beyond the grave, he calls us to follow him without fear, so that however we die, he will be with us. Others looking on may say, that he or she is dying and has died. But for us, with the Good Shepherd with us when we die, it will not seem to us that we are dying and are dead. We will go to be with him both in life and death immediately. It will just be a change in our existence. The Lord has gone ahead and gone through the very worst things that human beings fear. Therefore, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. The Lord is with us. And fourthly, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And fifthly, in verse 18, he says, he laid it down willingly. He says, I have power to lay it down and power to take it again. Do you know the chief priests, the Pontius Pilate, the Roman soldiers thought that they were in control? They thought that they were going to decide that Jesus would die, that they would decide how and when he would die. But undergirding it all was Jesus himself. It was his plan from the beginning to give up his life on the cross and to take it again in resurrection and ascension to heaven. It was his plan. He says, I have power to lay it down, power to take it again. No one takes it from me. And sixthly, Jesus says in verse 16, I have other sheep who are not of this fold, and I must bring them in too, so that there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus came to the people of Israel, but after his resurrection, he would gather to himself people from Africa, from Asia, from Europe, from Scotland, from China, white, black, yellow, brown people, all one flock and one shepherd. And lastly, the door. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd who leads the flock in and out. But he also says, I am the door of the sheep pen. How could he be both the shepherd and the door of the sheep pen? Well, the answer is this. In the smaller sheep pens, there wasn't a door, there was just a gap. And at night, the shepherd slept across the gap in the sheep pen. So at night, he was both the shepherd and the door. Sleeping across the doorway, the open doorway. He was both at the same time. And so in verse 7 and 9 we read these words, therefore Jesus said, I tell you the truth, I am the gate or the door for the sheep. I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. The book of Revelation says, I saw a door in heaven standing open. There is a door for sinners such as you and me to enter heaven itself. And that door is Jesus, who in laying down his life carried our sins away. And there is another door too, dear friends. And that's the door to our own souls. And we can open it to the Lord or close it. It's our decision. But his desire is to come in and have fellowship with us, because he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Let us pray. Dear God, our Father, we're sorry that there are so many leaders of the nations who are not good shepherds, who have not cared for the flock under their care, but have made themselves rich at the expense of the poor and the needy. Lord, we know that this is true and has been true in the history of the world. But we know that there is a good shepherd who made himself poor, who gave his life upon the cross, that we, his flock, might be rich forever. So may we open the door of our hearts to the good shepherd so that we be ready to receive him when he shall come on that last day of glory. We pray in his name. Amen.